going to read some from the back, the middle section of the book. These poems are quite different in tone to the rest of the book, and are based on myth and legend. And the inspiration for these were three brothers, Luchtar, Gognu, and Credni Cred. They were involved in making weapons for the Fianna. And what I did was I looked them up in my trusty Oxford Dictionary of Mythology and didn't find a whole lot there, so I kind of made it up. As well did. Let me read for you the desire of Credni's heart. When starlight kindles in the heavens and stays the reign of ever dark, when earth and kind were not yet fettered by wordish care beyond their mark, when sky was but a crystal dome to hold a sun so wondrous warm, here was Credni, masterwright, whose lock held fast the rooted stock. In deeping coombe, neath bitter ice, rooting Credni sat musing, wise, how craft might shape a new device of glacial rock and silver light. Spake he, I that smote the mountain side, and fiery brimstone fountain rise, I that pool the lake and forged the river's course to take, I that set the stars above in velvet skies to rove, will craft anew an orb of awe this very season will adore. An oaken casket have I long hewn, set with jewelled frost and strewn with silvern hinges, hasp and lock, inlaid with spells and carven runes. The casket holds my wishes true, an inner sphere bereft in want. To this end I seek further counsel. 'Tis time our kinsfolk met again. In time, when gods still walked the plain and fashioned all that lies therein, dark Credni did his people seek and summon them unto his keep. A banquet such as ne'er before, nor ever since, and never more, the locksmiths held neath hollow hills. Of all that came, they ate their fill. A feast of meats on high table laid from beasts that no more stalk the plain. Their bones are all that since remained, found now by men in latter days. The feast was held in chambers' halls, Credni's finest treasures kept there. Arboreal frescoes graced the walls, shook out their golden leaves, most fair, bedecked in gems with fiery glow that warmed the grot with fairest blush. All guests wondered in murmurs low at Credni's craft, his precious touch. To those beholding from afar, this host met and west of dreams, brightly woven, brilliant stars, these were the eldest of fey beings. Here was dark Thelen, one eye, there Bridget, morning star of cold, fair-browed Lu, beloved of men, and Bile, cold heart, proudest lord. Thus the roving troubadour was stirred to give accounting through the years. The gathered host listened with accord to birdsong sweet and darker fears. All Sweeney gave wistful streams, but turned he then to Credni's themes and sang the master's deepest reveries, a honeyed voice that soothed all. He sang how Credni delved the sun, fashioned from the gore of Thelen's eye, and how the sparks from Bile's forge were set stars set by him unto the sky. And sang he Bridget's bursting pangs, how Credni caught them in the starry cup and made them diamonds, hard and clear, speckling beaches with their dust. Then of Thelen bitter sweet sang he low, how Credni caught the deepest of his breath, and mixed with gemstones this cruel glow, thus was snow and fleet in ice set. And laughed his voice o'er in the hall, to tell how Lu and Credni had contrived, to make a lady from flowered fall, laughed Melody, thinking of his magic rhyme. Sweeney Gale and Mel, his great song, as a star the rousing notes ring on. Mighty sound rumbles to his feet. Cragney keeps his company well, but there is more than savouring meat when feats of old does Sweeney tell. Marry, we would all inquire the meaning of this mood. Cragney's widened smile, it deepens as the hidden casket is revealed. Through oaken panels run silver veins, glistening as though tears were sealed beneath its facing. Though what it cloaks is nothingness, bereft of making. On this lack, Cragney speaks, and to his wish gives he the undertaking. O highest of all hopes, are we gathered in my keep this night, and I, your craft and aid, do crave to fill the void, no oversight. Together will we frame anew an orb that each of you may hold within your kingdom, but 'tis true, a share of your glamour it will hold. Hence all heard Cregney's fervent want, and pondered on their best aspect of knowledge that could be bent to suit the treasure in their midst. With every season Cregney spoke, and each one nodded their assent. Within the coffer would they place a flavour of their respective reign. Bridget, bright heart, plants within her pain that calls the budding spring to grow. Lou lays the calling of autumn's wane, dark brooding felons rest the frosty breath. Bele sets the restlessness of summer soil. Cregney stands and places he the whisper of his forging craft within the cask and closes down the hatch. Now the banquet resumes once more. Wine poured a second time and raised in toast as the casket sparks to flame upon its bier. Cregney speaks once more in reverent tone. Now the time of waiting has begun, betwixt soap and wash of winter sun. For our art will be for night an orb of ghostly silvered light. The fifth of all the season's gifts bestows from each its own sway. Her brightness ever will seem cold because of Felon's cruel blow. Her gleam laments all her face through Bridget's pain and Lou's soft wane. The heavens ever doomed to roam from within the breath of Bele's realm, and Cregney's gift, her birthing mark, that shines out softly in the dark. Ceaseless, fairest daughter moon was thus named and set in heaven for the first. How Cregney's honored guests gasped and gazed upon her beauty in a sense. And often since has man remembered some small spark of this great deed. For every moon-filled winter night, in warming tired and weary bones, by our great wood-filled crackling fire, yet may you seek a remnant rent from Cregney's casket blazed to ash. Now, coming back to the present time, I'm just going to finish off with a couple of Christmas poems. This is based on a photograph that my mother took in front of the family Christmas tree in the early 70s, and it was very much a fashion at the time for my mother to always pose the photograph. Christmas Eve, 1974. Satsuma scent, an old spice, set off jingling bells in my head. Spruce pine, bottled with shiny blue, red and gold. Tinsel fronds that swirl through every twisting, uneven branch. Tinfoil star hoisted and attached to the topmast. I am forever seven in that photograph. Polo neck and trousers with much brushed hair. I proffer my gift forward like an Eastern princeling. smiling on Christmas Eve. This is nostalgic blanket, which is very much about the sort of in-between time that we have between Christmas and the New Year, where we're sick of stuffing ourselves, but we just can't help it. Today is blanketed in grey velvet style. All are caught in this twilight hour between death and life. The land itself waits for the imperceptible turning of the year. We dull our senses, overindulge our heathen ancestors. A time for thought, some deep in armchairs before flickering images cast forth from empty vessels. We are caught in the cotton of waiting, passing time, hesitant in hoping, springing on 3 months to full awareness where the muted notes of passing cars will shriek again the rule of men. I am the changing, nose pressed glass, watching and heeding the timeless ways of men, their cousining lives behind the lies. And finally, the crumbs of a prudent housewife year, that would be me, with my six kids. This is after Dylan Thomas. When the thieving hands of time steal back what the tilt of the seasons have lent, when the dim twilight hour fades in our hearts, insistent the chime of old Cronus' song, when the cook's thought turns to humble pie and tender stewed meat and barley soup, then you know truly that winter has come. All toil of the year is the tale in the broth. When the lackluster light of dreary doom calls the blackened kettle to hail good cheer, 'tis then all good folk give greetings and say, you won't feel it now till Christmas is here.